Welcome back to season two of Snubs and Dubs. We've been talking about the snubs and dubs of the 87th Academy Award for Best Picture. I'm your host, Kyle Tobiasen, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jason Miller. Jason, how's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good, Kyle. Huh? How's it going with you?
Jolly good?
Mate?
English?
Chap? Fellow? I don't know what those
How
English
many
people say.
Words for it's raining do you know now from this movie?
This added to my lexicon by a good amount. And ironically, it's raining out there.
It was
raining. It's raining.
Really tipping it down, isn't it?
It's really, I forgot all of them already. It's really coming, it's really bucketing.
Coming down in droves, isn't it?
Coming down in droves. It's really moisturizing our feet, isn't it?
Did you watch anything else this week?
Nope.
Nope.
No.
That's fine.
How about you?
I saw Doctor Strange again.
Again? And on the rewatch?
I enjoyed it more on the rewatch.
Interesting.
It was... Yeah, I enjoyed it more. That's all I'll say. I don't know how much more I enjoyed it, but I did kind of appreciate the complete package a little bit more than just like experiencing it kind of as I was going through it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's good. And I also watched Paddington 2.
Ooh, I will watch Paddington 2,
yeah.
But I have not yet.
I kind of regret it.
Really?
Because, not because it's a bad movie. Wow. I absolutely love it.
Kyle Tobiasen is saying that Paddington 2 is one of the worst movies he's ever seen.
No, it's just like, I should have watched it after we recorded because I watched Paddington and then I saw Doctor Strange and then I watched Paddington 2.
Mm-hmm. A sequel to Doctor Strange. Yes.
And so I should have waited until after we record because now Paddington 2 stuff is in my head.
Oh, and it's hard to sort out what's what because
sometimes
it's the same bear. Who knows what hijinks are from which movie?
Exactly. But yeah, Paddington 2, love. Amazing movie. Perfect almost.
I'm definitely going to watch that next week because this is watching this movie and then knowing that Paddington 2 is the universally more beloved movie is blowing my goddamn mind.
All right. Well, of course, season two of Snubs and Dubs has been covering the films from the year 2014. And so for episode 15, we are talking about Paddington, the first one, not Paddington 2.
The first
2.
One. No, that one does not exist in our universe. Paddington 2 is just a fever dream.
Yep. You hadn't seen this before, though.
I've never seen a Paddington before. I'm a Paddington virgin coming into this.
Were you a book reader at all, either?
I've never read a book in my life, Kyle. You know me.
I don't think the books got here, really. It was mostly an English thing.
Yeah, and apparently from like the little bit of outside research, they're really short, like small children's books.
Yeah.
Like, not very long. Like, I believe this one video essay I was watching said that the events in Paddington that are from the book make up like 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Because it's a very small, it's like a 12-page illustrated tale of a cutesy little bear from... So, no, I've not read the books.
Neither, actually.
Yeah, that's fair. But you've seen the movie before, I do believe.
Quite a few times. I missed it in theaters, but I saw it afterwards and loved it and tried to share it with pretty much everyone that I could because it's just charming. And lovely and warm.
This is such a... Speaking of having 1,000 words for rain, this is a movie for rain. Anytime it's a little dreary outside, I'm slapping this boy on. Yeah. It just holds you warm and tight.
It really does. Okay. Well, if you were interested in Paddington or some of the books it was based on, I've included links to the physical media related to it in the show notes. If you buy through that link, it'll help out the show. Or if you have any other Amazon shopping to do, follow the general link to help out our show in the process. A reminder that this is going to be a spoiler-filled conversation, so if you haven't seen Paddington yet and you want to, go ahead and do so. I've also included time codes in the show notes so you can skip around to your heart's desire. But without further ado, let's get into it.
So Paddington is a live action animated comedy directed by Paul King, written by Paul King and Hamish McCall, based on the Paddington Bear novel series written by Michael Bond. This is starring Ben Whishaw as the voice for Paddington, Hugh Bonneville as Henry Brown, Sally Hawkins as Mary Brown, Nicole Kidman as Millicent Clyde, Madeline Harris as Judy Brown, and Samuel Jocelyn as Jonathan Brown. This has a runtime of 95 minutes and was released on November 28, 2014. We gave this a little bit of a teaser before, but Kyle, what do you think of Paddington, the bear, the movie?
Love. I love how Judy looks a little bit like a young Jason.
I knew. I'm surprised it took this long to come up because when I was watching the movie, I was thinking, like, oh, God damn it, she kind of does.
Because I remember, like, probably in 2015 or something, sending you a picture of Judy and, like, you. Because I was like, why is their facial structure so similar?
I remember looking at that photo you sent it and being like, oh, God damn it, she kind of does. Like, I can't refute this. I can't really scrap over this one because the man's right. And that might be a very mean thing to say about Madeline Harris.
Nah, she's great. She's good.
Oh, she's very good.
And beyond the facial resemblance, it's a very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Much it love.
A very good movie.
Yeah.
I think if I ever wanted to make like a fake profile picture or something, I would just use like a frame from the movie of her, because now I've also grown out my hair to be about not quite as long as her length, but like in the general neighborhood. So I could probably pull a fast one and maybe confuse some people on that.
Oh,
but
well,
what a movie.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's all. That was my preview of thoughts.
It's just such a good movie. I think there's like so much to enjoy with it too. And if you're going in a little bit like hesitantly, it does kind of like warm you in. And
it
like,
slowly pulls. Yeah.
And eventually I don't think it takes long, but if you were hesitant, I think it does kind of hook you a little bit, because the humor in it is just, it's so good. It's not just childish humor.
Mm-hmm.
It is like the perfect blend of adult humor and like family friendly humor.
Yeah.
And I don't think it ever makes a joke that's so kiddish that it's only for kids.
No.
I think all of the comedy in this works no matter what like age you're at or what kind of comedy appreciation you have. It has so much like physical comedy, and then such like dry wit.
Yeah.
It's just stupid things like your call is moderately important to us. Like that just creeps into my life all the time. And
I know. Oh, and because it's not really like kid jokes, it is full family jokes. The whole comedy works for everyone. I think like the only time I thought it was maybe mostly geared towards kids is the opening is pretty like it's something that I would expect from a kid's movie.
Yeah,
but it very quickly gets into like all will enjoy range, and I don't even mind. Like it does not bother me in the slightest that it starts off a little too slapstick and doesn't quite hit its full stride till later in, because it's a good start. It pulls you into the characters and then pretty quick it starts getting into like it hits stride.
Yeah, definitely. Well, should we just jump into this plot real quick?
Let's get into this plot.
All right. So I'm going to read straight through the plot. If you don't need a refresher, you can skip right to the discussion by following the time codes in the show notes. But here's Paddington. In the deepest jungles of darkest Peru, a British geographer discovers a previously unknown species of bear. He learns that the bear are highly intelligent and that they have a deep fondness for marmalade. He names them Lucy and Pastuzo and gives them his hat as he leaves, telling the bears that they are always welcome if they wish to go to London. 40 years later, the two bears are living in harmony with their orphaned nephew until an earthquake destroys their home, forcing them to seek shelter underground. Pastuzo fails to reach the shelter in time and is killed by a falling tree. Lucy encourages her nephew to go and find solace in London while she moves into the home for retired bears. The young bear arrives in London on a cargo ship and eventually reaches Paddington Station. He meets the Brown family, who takes him home and names him after the station they found him in. Henry Brown, the father and devoted risk analysis, does not believe Paddington's story and is adamant that Paddington stay only one night. But his wife, Mary, and their two children, Jonathan and Judy, find him endearing, as does Mrs. Bird, their housekeeper. Paddington thinks he can find a home with the explorer who met Lucy and Pastuzo, but does not know his name. After finding no mention of his expedition on the internet, Mary takes Paddington to Samuel Gruber, an antique shop owner who discovers that the hat bears the stamp of the Geographer's Guild, but the guild has no record of an expedition to Peru. With the help of Henry, Paddington infiltrates the guild's archive and discovers an expedition to Peru was undertaken by the explorer whose name was Montgomery Clyde, although the guild erased all record of the expedition. Meanwhile, the hateful museum taxidermist Millicent, played by Nicole Kidman, kills and stuffs exotic animals to house in the Natural History Museum. When she learns of Paddington's existence, she immediately sets out to hunt him down. The Brown family departs for the day, leaving Paddington home alone. Scheming with the Browns' nosy next-door neighbor, Mr. Curry, Millicent sneaks in and attempts to capture Paddington. He manages to defend himself, but inadvertently starts a fire in the process. Paddington tries to tell the Browns his story of Millicent's kidnap attempt, but no one believes him. That night, Paddington leaves the house and attempts to track down Montgomery Clyde himself, using the phone book to find the addresses of every M. Clyde in London. He eventually finds Millicent's house and learns that Montgomery Clyde, who was Millicent's father, died a long time ago. Millicent resents her father for losing his guild membership after he refused to bring a Peruvian bear specimen home and subsequently opened a petting zoo. She tranquilizes Paddington and prepares to stuff him. But when Mr. Curry discovers her true intentions, he warns the Brown family and they come to save Paddington. They rescue him, and when Millicent is about to shoot Paddington on the roof, Mrs. Bird opens a hatch, pushing her off. In the aftermath, the Browns allow Paddington to stay in their house permanently. Millicent is arrested and sentenced to community service in her father's petting zoo. Paddington writes to Aunt Lucy, saying he is happy and he has finally found a home. But that's Paddington.
That is Paddington. That is a guaranteed, bona fide, yes, that's Paddington.
The one like weakness I think this movie gets is Nicole Kidman's villain isn't like the biggest issue. I mean, like, they had to have a villain in this at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And like, as far as villains go, she's fine. Mm-hmm. But like the rest of the story, like mostly what you want is Paddington and this family and mm-hmm. just like shenanigans after shenanigans. And so it does need that sort of like villain through line to get you all the way to the end. But like, that's like kind of the only part that's like not 100% perfect, in my opinion.
I think that's fair. I didn't quite notice that because I spent a lot of time just staring at Nicole Kidman. Oh my God, her in this movie. I don't know what she did. I don't know her lines. I think she has a story and a name. I don't know. I was too busy staring at her because woo, woo. That was good enough.
Yeah.
Maybe in post, if you can put in like a good whistle.
Okay. No, keeping it weak.
Okay. But yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we don't get very many villainous Nicole Kidman performances. And so it's nice to get one.
I thought she was good. I don't think her character was given enough time to fully develop, which is why it comes across a little flat. She's just like a weaker Cruella de Vil and not really like a good villain.
Yeah.
But it works enough. And I enjoy every other bit of this movie that it is fine.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I really love in this movie is just like how creative the jokes are. And like, we talk a bit about the wit so long ago before the plot happened, but so many of the jokes, they're never punching down. And I think what I really love about this movie is just kind of how wholesome it is.
Oh yeah.
And I think a big part of that is everyone just accepts that he's a bear and does like, it's not a plot point that he is a bear, even though like that is his story. It's never like, that's a bear. Like, 'cause that's kind of annoying when you're supposed to be in a universe where you have to suspend some belief when you give like legitimate reactions to people seeing a bear in the streets of London. But since it just accepts that this is a bear, this is a London, the story starts there. Like it works really well. Even when the dad's calling the insurance place and he's making jokes about like, what kind of bear is it? Is it a grizzly bear? Well, I don't know. I haven't seen him in the morning. Like it's
that's one of my favorite jokes.
Oh, like, it's just so good because it keeps your disbelief suspended and it just, it's a wholesome setup that way that works really well.
Yeah. It does like accept it right away. Like even at that train station, Mr. Brown doesn't like, oh, there's like a bear there. Why is there a bear there? Oh, this is London. Why is there a bear? He's like, oh, avert your eyes, children. There seems to be some sort of strange bear. And then they just walk by and he's like, no, thank you.
Because like, the issue isn't that it's a bear. The issue is you might be trying to sell them something. I think it just builds a better universe for them. Yeah.
One of my favorite jokes is, I actually have a list. I was writing them down as I go. But like in the opening credit scene where Montgomery Clyde is talking to the bears and Aunt Lucy's like, London. He's like, good Lord. Now try Stafford-upon-Avon.
Yeah, because that just works so well because like they give the same delivery, but it's like him in shock that this bear can speak. And then it just like it cuts back to whatever. Let's make a funny out of this. It doesn't like punch down on like a bear, which is a weird concept to have punching down on a wild animal. But still, it like accepts the intelligence level right away.
Yeah. I also like when they're trying to describe orphanage.
That was my favorite gaffe in the whole movie. That was my favorite little bit when they do like that visual.
Yeah, with the sign. Because they're like orphanage. They're like, da da da. It's like, no, more like an institution for young souls whose parents have sadly passed away. And then it's the same
gaffe. Oh, I laughed at that really hard.
Yeah. And like, there's like a little adult joke sprinkled in too, like when Judy's learning Chinese. And it's just when they're cutting away. Yeah. But the tape's like, I've been accused of insider trading and require legal representation. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, that's so good.
It's so perfect. Tiny police bear. Fucking classic. Yeah. That's one bit I forget from this movie sometimes is the little police chase where mm-hmm. like he just ends up in total police gear trying to chase down the pickpocketer.
Oh. My personal favorite is the elevator bit when he's getting on, but he's scared to get on. And then he sees a sign that said dogs must be carried. So he, because it's, and then he's like, well, I must be carrying a dog then. And then he just goes and steals a dog. I paused on that one and laughed because it's just so like, it's so stupid. It's so clever and funny that it just, it got me going.
And he goes down so confidently after he has the dog in his arms. I think my favorite bit is when they do the flashback to when Judy's being born and they come on in the motorcycle and the crazy hair and she's like, this isn't gonna change us, is it? He's like, no. Then they go in and come out and it's like the beige van. She's like, what color is that? It's like, it's beige, it's a common neutral color.
Oh, and just like the because they layer things so well. Hugh, his name's Hugh, right? The dad? Henry.
Just Mr. Brown,
The actor's name is Hugh.
Yeah.
But since Henry is like a risk assessor, there's the common theme of he gives a percentage of, and even like at the start when the kid's jumping off the train, Henry's like, 7% of all childhood injuries start with jumping. And then, and then they give like the arc of how he got there. If it's just like, him being a dad has made him more worried about security than anything else.
Oh, he has like a joke too when they're breaking into the Geographers Guild and he has to dress up as like a woman and Paddington's like, you look very pretty. He's like, yeah, that's what they'll say in jail. Oh, and fucking Mr. Curry, Peter Capaldi in this role. Like he's just that like classic nosy neighbor, but it's like, it's a bit, but it's also done well.
Yeah. Because he still has like a little bit of depth. He's not just the nosy neighbor. He's the really sad, depressed nosy neighbor who has no luck with people. So
He brings Nicole Kidman dead flowers that he found tied to a lamppost.
Which, does that infer they took them from like a memorial of some kind?
Yes, it does. And like, that's another joke that kids are not going to get.
No.
But for us, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's like, oh geez. Oh, and the taxi and then the door closed, it's taxidermist.
Yes, it does visual gags so well
because they don't need to be like a stop and appreciate this joke.
Yeah,
a couple of them are like the orphanage sign, but a lot of the jokes are just kind of like subtly put into the background that if you're paying attention you see them and laugh, but they're not gonna like pull more attention to it than it needs, which helps a lot because sometimes a joke doesn't have to be huge. It can just be a small thing underscoring another point.
I also like Mrs. Bird, and just like one of the favorite lines in the movie for me is when she goes and tries to distract a security guard and she's like, would you help an old woman? I missed my bus. I don't know why, but just her delivery is
so much pepper on it.
And my last one that I wrote down there was when Mr. Brown is trying to like get Paddington to wake up and he's just like, is that you, God? But like Ben Whishaw, great voice.
He's the perfect voice. As soon as you hear him as Paddington, like this is exactly what a Peruvian bear in London should sound like. He nailed it. But he's just the perfect voice. I love just hearing Paddington's lines because it matches so well to the character.
Yeah.
I will say one thing that I found interesting with this movie is kind of how it tells the story of immigration. Because it kind of deals with it in like a way that children could recognize as good. Like it talks about like accepting immigrants and, you know, helping out a bear who's essentially a refugee.
Mm-hmm.
But it also kind of does it in a strange way that's like pro-British people going out exploring and colonizing other places. Because when it's not, there's never like a critical look at the fact that the explorer went to Peru.
Yeah.
And like, not like indoctrinated, but like convinced these bears of like London culture and the superiority of London and how great it is. It's just like, it's a good story about accepting people of all kinds, but it kind of struck me as a weird way to do that, where it's kind of like pro-imperialism in a little bit, and like in a little bit of a sense.
Yeah, it's like one of those things of the movie where like, if you don't think about it, you're not going to like get much depth out of it. But like, if you really sit and look at it, maybe.
Yeah. And how like Paddington was able to fully immigrate because he has like all the London characteristics already. Like that just struck me as a little bit weird. But like, it's so good. Like, I don't, whatever. It's maybe not politically the perfect movie because it has like some strange undertones, but it's so good. Whatever. Yeah. It doesn't need to. It tells a heartwarming story of a bear who gets accepted, and he's just a lovely little fellow. It's good.
Yeah, it's good. Well, we loved it, clearly. Oh. But what do the critics and audiences think of Paddington?
Oh, I think they're right there with us. The critics on Rotten Tomato are giving this a 97.
Oh my God.
Audiences 80. Which I thought, that's actually a kind of interesting difference between the two.
Yeah.
I also don't know why only 80% of people love this movie. God damn, it's good.
I feel like at 80%, that's like people might be coming in because it's so high
probably
on other places and just being like the snark guys who are like, this isn't cinema. Blah.
Yeah, the buzz was probably not working to its favor at that point.
Yeah.
IMDb 7.2 and Metacritic 77. So I think the critics probably watched this when it came out and gave it the buzz. And also, I think just appreciated what it is, because also we didn't quite talk about this, but there's so many like really good like shots. Really good scenes. I love the music in this.
Oh,
the way
God,
that the
too.
That score changed throughout and like the whatever the music with the bongo drums was.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I like how they incorporated it into the scene too.
Yes.
Like it was like actually in world.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, like the band was always in there doing their fun stuff and the sound was good. It also, a lot of people compare it to like Wes Anderson in terms of like shot composition and colors and also like that dollhouse scene is like Wes Anderson-esque, but it's just such a pretty movie and has its own style to it too. It kind of takes like some of the things you might see in a Wes Anderson movie, but makes it like a subtle, smaller part of the scene and not like the whole point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It takes the flavor, but not the whole meal.
Yes. That's a good way to put it. But you know what is a whole meal? It's $252 million at the box office.
Nice.
On a budget of $55
million. Wow.
So this still turned around a good amount of money.
Mm-hmm. I think a large majority of that worldwide was overseas too. I feel like a lot of people in the UK were the ones driving that box office up, because like at the end of the day, this is like, it's a British
this
movie.
This is a British movie. Wow. It had real British people involved in it. That is something.
I mean, and they were pushing hard. I don't know if you watched any of the trailers, but the fact that it was the producers of Harry Potter. And so they were really trying to drive that association. Yeah. But
you know, like that other British movie we have, Harry Potter. And it was number 34 at the box office for that year.
Pretty good.
So, I mean, considering that it's kind of a family movie.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Definitely.
But now it's time for our score.
All right.
Kyle, how would you like to score our good friend Paddington the Bear?
Well, for enjoyment, I gave it a hard 5.
Nice.
Love it. Craft, 4.5. Mm-hmm. I think I docked it a little bit just because the CG in some scenes isn't perfect.
No.
But like overall, like the immersion of the bear in the world is very good.
Yeah.
And obviously the costumes, you mentioned the music, all of that, high notes.
Oh, yeah.
Execution, also 4.5. I think I lost a point just because the villainous stuff was a little bit weaker than the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But all around high marks because the writing is on point. The jokes are witty. It's wholesome. It's fun. It gives you good feels. And the acting is very good.
Very good.
Rewatchability, it's another hard 5.
Ooh.
Full. I will definitely be watching this one and Paddington 2 again.
Nice. For my scores, I'm going to be in a pretty similar neighborhood to you. For enjoyment, I'm slapping down a 4.5. Not quite a perfect 5, but it was so close. And this might even be one I come back to and think I was being a bit too harsh on it. For craft, that one I'm putting down a 5 because everything came through so well. I really loved how this movie's built, all the way from like the sound to the shots. The acting's really good. The voice performance for Paddington will never leave me. Oh my God. And I have a fun fact related to that that really hope that you don't know, because it's going to be a fun one.
Okay.
And a factual one.
I didn't look up too much facts
good.
Except for one about Nicole Kidman, but I inadvertently read that. But
I actually have a lot about Nicole Kidman.
Okay, yeah. You might have the same one.
Probably. For execution, I'm going to give this a 4.5. I agree that the villain stuff wasn't like perfect. And there also, there were a couple like very kid-oriented moments, which is not wrong, but will lower my like enjoyment of it. Because that's just, I am me. And it wasn't made for me, and that's fine too. Rewatch is going to be a big old 4.5. This is not a perfect rewatch, but I'll be damned if it isn't close. And that is going to bring our scores to Kyle, slapping down a 19 out of 20 for a 95%, and Jason slapping down an 18.5 for a 93%. God damn, we love this movie.
We definitely do. I had a feeling you were going to love it because it is a light and wholesome movie that also hits on so much other stuff like humor and craft and everything.
And it made me feel I was sad when it wanted me to be sad.
Yeah.
I was laughing for the rest of it. Yep. It was just a really fun experience. And from what I've heard of Paddington 2, I'm going to cry my goddamn eyes out.
Oh my
at the
God,
end.
Dude. I don't know why I can't, like, I know it's coming in the movie and I still can't stop fucking weeping. It's like Coda when the audition scene starts and she starts signing. Fuck, I don't know what it is, but it just hits me and I'm like, gah! But yes, I'm hoping to hear your report back about Paddington 2 sometime. Yeah,
you're going to know that I've watched it because I'm going to send 12 cry emojis. That'll just be me. All right, ranking time. Kyle, I'm going to sound off your ranking to you.
Cool.
You have top to bottom Grand Budapest Hotel, Captain America, Guardians of the Galaxy, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Interstellar, Gone Girl, Nightcrawler, Lego, John Wick, Boyhood, Babadook, Imitation Game, Big Hero 6, Foxcatcher, American Sniper. Where is Mr. Paddington the Bear going?
It is my new number two.
Oh, I knew it was going to be number two.
Just under Grand Budapest, but over Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Oh, I like that a lot. Yeah. As a quick recap of my ranking system that is so very different from Kyle, it is Grand Budapest Hotel, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Interstellar, Gone Girl, Nightcrawler, John Wick, Guardians of the Galaxy, Lego, Babadook, Captain America, Boyhood, Big Hero 6, Imitation Game, Foxcatcher, American Sniper. Yeah, it's number two. That is a very good call. This is going right below Grand Budapest, and then it's Paddington. That's just the right call to make.
Yeah.
I feel like, and this was supposed to be a family movie. Imagine if they weren't 100% worried about a kid enjoying it as well and like aged it up just ever so slightly. Oh, this is a knockout. But it's meant to be a family movie and it does that very well. I can't imagine anyone in watching this movie not having a good time. It's all ages.
Yeah. They need to have more family movies like this because this is... If you were like thinking about making a family movie, this is where I'd direct you to because like it has everything that kids want. It's joyful. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's happy. It's got, you know, visual gags and everything. He puts toothbrushes in his ears and licks it. You know, it has got all that stuff that kids want.
Yeah.
But then it also has the nourishment of adult humor just sprinkled in there that kids will just, it'll go over their heads, but we know.
Yeah. And like it respects kids. It doesn't just tell them what's funny. It doesn't have dumb, you get punched in the face moments. It doesn't rely on like slapstick kind of like violence.
Yeah.
It's clever. It's like bear left and there's a bear on your left. Like if I was a kid, I'd be losing my goddamn mind at that.
Yeah. And this is such an easy one to like show your kids. Like, so safe. Like this is going to be, if I ever have kids, this is just in the back pocket, like ready to go.
Oh yeah.
Kids want to watch a movie? Paddington.
Paddington. That's like, Dad, we'd like to watch another movie now. No. It's Paddington. And if you're good, it's Paddington 2.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for some fun Letterboxd reviews?
Oh yes. Were they actually fun?
Well, yes and no. There were a lot. There were plentiful reviews. Yes. I had to go through a lot to find some good ones, but they're good enough.
Mm.
It works enough. 3.8 out of 5 on Letterboxd. So starting off with like some fun ones from all around, I dug and found some lower ones later.
Mm.
But Karen H, 4 stars. I love this movie, but my mom hates it because, in quotations, that bear is so irresponsible.
God, that's so English. What the fuck?
Oh, that's so sweet, though. I can imagine some mom like watching that and after the movie, she doesn't say anything.
Like,
and then you go like, hey, mom, how is that? That bear was so irresponsible. I don't want you watching these movies anymore.
He's a bad influence. Oh, God.
Tom, 4 stars. Paddington is so selfish. Who wouldn't want to be stuffed by Nicole Kidman? Oh, God. It doesn't sound so bad. Did you see Nicole Kidman, Kyle? That doesn't sound so bad.
Oh, Keith Urban on fucking watch here.
Yeah, I'll let you stuff my darkest too. Okay, this is where I delved into some low ones to see what the average Paddington hater thinks. This is Mar, 0.5 stars. Can't seem to unsee the part where the bear gets fucked by an escalator. Very strange visual. You have to admit, that is very strange.
I mean, like, yeah, that's probably how it would look if he was laying on the bottom step of an escalator.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Yeah, correct. That is how it would look. Why does it need to? He could have fallen off after the escalator and been laying on there.
No.
You could have shown the whole body and not just waist up while he's getting pounded, I want to say, by the escalator. And he doesn't. There's other choices. It wasn't a wrong choice, but it was a choice.
Yeah.
All right. This is the last one. This is the other type of Paddington hater. Morbius fan 4122. 0.5 stars. Marmalade. More like Marblade.
That's so dumb. Fuck, it's funny though.
So Morbius has some shooters out here. Hey, everyone else is on notice. We need more Morbius. All right, awards time.
Okay.
Kyle, we loved this movie.
Yes.
The critics seem to really like this movie. Yep. What do you think the Academy thought of this movie?
Nothing. Dog shit. Absolute garbage.
Nothing. This is such a blight on the Academy in general. Yeah. I can't believe this.
Yes.
This is a crime. They need to be locked up. This got nothing. Not a nomination. Certainly not an award, because you need the nomination first. This is a crime.
Yeah.
And I only hope Paddington 2 was respected better than this. And I have not looked that up, so I don't know.
Spoiler warning, it wasn't.
God damn it.
It's like, because this is one of those movies where, like, I can see the Academy not giving it a look. Because, like, it's clearly not the visual effects movie of the year, even though it has a visual effects leading character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not some fucking epic drama or whatever that the Academy is looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But the writing is so fucking good.
It's so good. How does this not get a best adapted screenplay look? Best directing? That would make sense.
Right?
Yeah.
But no.
Best bear in a leading role? Hello, who's competing with that? We got some monkeys who could give some competition, but that's a different species. They have their own award. Well, one place it did pick up a little bit of steam was the BAFTAs. This was nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay and the Alexander Korda Award for the Best British Film. It didn't win either, though.
Oh.
So still, unsure about that. I don't remember who won those.
Well, if the Oscar was any indication, it might have been The Imitation Game, because The Imitation Game won Best Adapted Screenplay from the Oscar.
Ugh.
And so that's a British film.
Yeah.
Might have won that screenplay.
This is not an imitation of a good movie. Because Paddington's better. Shut up, Imitation Game. Well, it deserved better than that. That was the only real steam it had, and that is a fraction of a percent of what it deserves.
Hard agree.
So if you are listening to this podcast, go out there, give Paddington your own Oscar.
Yeah.
Give it one of your, if your name is Steve, give this the Steve Award for whatever you want it to be. If you're a Jennifer listening, this just won the Big Jenny Award because it deserved it. This has the Jason Best Paddington Award. Best Interesting Facts Awards coming up, though. So we're starting off with Nicole Kidman's own.
All right.
Nicole Kidman learned to throw and twirl knives for her role as Millicent. She has noted that during shooting, the producers told her to tone down her knife throwing tricks as it was considered too intense for a children's movie. Ultimately, all the scenes featuring her skills were cut out of the movie.
That's the funniest part for me. This is what I heard. But it's so funny because she got so good.
Yeah.
And the producers were like, chill, babe. And then they actually just cut it all out.
That's so funny. Yeah. Oh, God. When I first started reading the first sentence, you're like, knife throwing?
Yeah.
Like, what? Was she just terrorizing her coworkers? Is this like some Jared Leto? I'm going to method act her and she likes throwing knives at the cameraman. But no, it just was completely cut.
Yeah.
Weird.
So wacky.
Yeah, continuing the Nicole Kidman zone. Nicole Kidman's childhood wish was to have Paddington Bear live at her home. She says that to participate in this movie is the closest she'll ever come to realize it.
Aww, sweet.
Her other childhood dream was to throw knives at people. So really a lot coming true for Nicole Kidman. Despite being a keen animal lover, Nicole Kidman took a taxidermy class to prepare herself for this role.
Oh my God.
Kyle, does she ever do any actual taxidermy in the role?
No, I don't think you ever see her do any.
Nope. Did she really need to do a taxidermy course for this role?
Yes, because how could she write, how could she drive in the car that says taxi, actually just kidding, taxidermy, if she didn't have that course?
I love that, like, she had to go against her own code to do that, and she did not need to do that.
Wow, she wasted a lot of time for this villain role in Paddington.
Oh.
Learned to throw knives so well that the producers told her to stop. Went morally out of her way to learn how to taxidermize animals, and just nothing really came of that.
I really wanted there to be like one more fact that was like, Nicole Kidman ate 10 pounds of steak every week to prepare for this role.
Oh, God.
But that is actually going to be the end of Nicole Kidman zone. However, in the UK, the popularity of this movie greatly enhanced the sale of marmalade and oranges within the first half of 2015 and served a rise in downloads of marmalade recipes.
That makes 100% sense.
It does.
Because I want to make a marmalade sandwich.
I'm curious how good a marmalade sandwich would be because they talked a mean game.
Yeah. Is it worth keeping in your hat in case of emergencies?
You'd have to assume so. Yeah. No one questioned the move. Everyone's like, oh, that is clever. That is a good one. Yes. Right on, chap.
There's one moment in Paddington 2. I really want to say it, but like, I don't want to spoil it. Ah, fuck,
just do it. You've teased.
Brendan Gleeson's in it. Fucking amazing. And he says marmalade in such a way. It's like, marmalade. I don't know why he has to say it like that, but he does it. It fucking kills me every time.
That's amazing. During pre-production, writer and director Paul King attended several screenings of children's movies in order to see what made the children in the audiences laugh. He brought his wife to most of these screenings in order to not seem like a creepy loner. Because that would have stuck out. Hey, what's Paul King doing alone in this children's movie, watching the audience and barely paying attention to the film?
Oh,
this seems actionable in a crime way. Where's a good police bear when you need him?
And you ask him about him. He's like, no, I'm making a movie.
I swear, I'm making a children's movie. Can I get some film of your childhood laughing, though? I need to know what makes him tick.
Oh, God. Yeah, right. Good call, Paul King.
And last one. And this is the one that I hope you hadn't heard before so that I could see your reaction to it now.
Okay.
According to writer and director Paul King, Colin Firth was replaced as the voice of Paddington Bear because, and I quote, it slowly just became clear that Paddington does not have the voice of a very handsome older man who has the most beautiful voice on the planet, end quote. Firth had visited the set and worked with his live-action co-stars long before he began recording his lines in order to help his co-stars and improve on his voice performance, but later in production, both Paul King and Colin Firth would agree that he was not the actor for the role. Good move.
Wow.
I can't imagine that Jeez. Voice with that bear. It had to be like an innocent, youthful kind of voice, not Colin Firth.
That's a wild choice. I mean, Colin Firth, great guy, great actor. Good voice.
Very good actor. Amazing voice. Not a Paddington voice.
No. Oh, full credit to Ben Whishaw, though. He fucking kills it.
Oh, yes, he does. He, like, I can't imagine any of the, like, it is so perfect that it couldn't have gone any other way.
Nope.
but there was almost your Colin Firth needs to be in every single British movie. He was kind of in it. He helped coach some people.
Oh, maybe Colin Firth wasn't in The Imitation Game because he was on set trying to do Paddington.
Maybe.
Wow. Wow. Really makes you think.
That explains a lot. You cracked the code. Well, that's all I got for fun facts. There was quite a few in there because the letterbox is only meh. And there was a lot of fun action going on in the fun facts. So I went heavier there.
Yeah, that's good. Cool. Well, final thoughts?
I cannot wait for Paddington 2 because I don't know how a movie can like universally improve upon that. It starts so strong.
Yeah. I will say, I think after watching them kind of back to back, Paddington 1 has more like jokes, mm-hmm. but Paddington 2 has a better story and like better bits.
Interesting.
Think. Yeah. Yep. As for Paddington, have you ever been so bored that you guessed the ingredients of an Oreo wrapper?
Oh, my God. That scene is so good. Oh, okay. Just about, because it tells you right away everything that they're all about. Like, it doesn't need to be like, oh, we're bored security guards. These guys are just guessing, like, the nutrition and, like, the way they do it, too, where it's like, it's so- carbohydrates. I know this one. Like, oh,
such a good
God, how good that is, oh, but it's so good.
Oh, but that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good final thought.
All right. Well, I want to thank you all for listening to season 2, episode 15 of Snubs and Dubs. As always, you can find us everywhere on social media at Snubs and Dubs. That's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Letterboxd, etc. We're also on Good Pod, so make sure to check us out there and join our official Discord. We'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on Paddington or on this episode. So please send us a tweet or a message with a question, recommendation, or anything else. I'm also at Kyle Tobiason on Twitter and Jason's at Wendy_Mills. Of course, all of those links are in the show notes. Make sure to leave a 5-star review, share the show to everyone you know, and check back next week for another episode. Here's a sneak peek of the film we're going to talk about.
Mr. President, in the South, there have been thousands of racially motivated murders.
We need your help,
Dr. King. This thing's just going to have to wait.
It cannot wait.
You got one big issue, I got 101.
Summer it is.
That's right. Next time we're talking about the 5th Best Picture nom for this season, Selma. So make sure to watch it before next episode. Can't wait for you guys to hear it. Thanks for listening. That's a wrap. Bye.
Bye for now.